Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Hey everybody, I'm Larry Kudlow. Let's reset. You can get us, talk to us during the week. Fox Business, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. I know I missed it yesterday. I was underwater, bad cold, fighting back here today. But 4 to 5 p.m. And if you can't be there at 4, you can text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. The show does replay at 7 p.m. also. And here you can live stream us on the Internet. LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com, all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, including the Milky Way. So we're going to have some fun. Stock market work, huge rally in stocks. The basic theme here, I'm going to front run my two distinguished guests just a little bit. The basic theme is interest rates down and stocks up. That's all I'll say. I don't like the front run because that's not good radio hosting, but I kind of snuck that in. So we got Ken Pulcheri, managing partner at Case Capital Advisors and chief market strategist at Slatestone Wealth. And we have Pete Najarian, co-founder of Market Rebellion and Option Monster, two of the best of the best. Start with Kenny Pulcheri. Did I get that right? Rates down? Hey, hold on. The 2-year down 16 bips. The 10-year down 26 bips. 10-year is a little above 4.5. It was close to 5. 3-month Treasury bill, along with the Fed funds rate, is still high, 5.39. So you got an inverted curve, which spells recession next year. But nonetheless, the Dow is up 1,644 points. The NASDAQ plus 835, and the S&P 500 plus 241. So the Kudlow Trust did very well this week. Kenny Pulcheri, what do you make of it?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you're absolutely right. That, you know, they saw this move down in interest rates and this explosion higher in stocks. Now they had gotten to a well oversold position the prior week when we saw the S&P break certain technical points, straight all the way down to 4,100. But I think the news this week is giving people and algos the idea that the Fed is done. But look, you and I both know Janet Yellen came to the market the other day and said she's going to bring $1.6 trillion worth of treasuries to the market over the next 5 months. Who's going to buy all those? That's going to be the real question. So what are rates going to do when she starts to flood the market with those treasuries? And we have China, Japan, and the Treasury who have been buyers are now net sellers. So what's going to happen? And that's where I think you have
China, Japan, and the
your point.
China, Japan, and the Fed. I started that. This was my mantra last week. It's very funny. It started with Larry Lindsay's newsletter, which I read every day. The guy's brilliant. And by the way, the Treasury Borrowing Committee, or whatever they're called, is predicting 0.7% GDP in the fourth quarter and 1% next year, for what that's worth. So I started, and I put that in my riff, and then the Speaker of the House comes on, Mike Johnson, Thursday, and he plays it back to me. Well, you know, Larry, we've got $1.5 trillion of borrowing in the next 6 months. By the way, it is 11% of GDP. It's very funny. A lot of market analysts picked up on that. But on the other hand, Pete Najarian, you were very kind to help us on the show with the oversold condition point. But really, is there a turning point here, I guess, is what people would like to know.
Well, I think the one thing that we absolutely have known and continue to know, Larry, is, and I think Kenny was just spot on, when you look at what's going on within the markets right now, and the algorithmic trading that's going on in the markets, it's all tied to the same thing. They're looking at the 10-year. Wherever the 10-year is going, as we go, we are going to do the exact opposite in terms of the markets. And obviously, this move from 5% was a very rapid move from 5% to 4.5%. I mean, it was incredible. And I think Kenny mentioned 1,600 points later. When I'm looking at it, Larry, one of the reasons why I say it's algorithmic is because of the fact that it's just so dead set in the exact same spot. And on top of that, we're seeing volumes like we haven't seen in a very, very long period of time. Matter of fact, maybe never for that when you really look at it, because when I look at the options world, we've had about 5 or 6 days in the last maybe 10 or 11 where we've gone 50 million contracts or more. Friday we traded 58.5 million contracts. So I think there are algorithmic trades going on and getting a little bit of an enhanced move because of the fact that we're talking about the options world as well as the stock world. So when I look at a Monday up 500 points and a Thursday up 560 and then finish the week up 220, there's a lot of reasons for it, but I think the easiest one to point at right now, and it's absolutely right, is right there at the 10-year. And by the way, earnings have not been as bad as probably most people would have expected as we've gone through Amazon and Microsoft and Starbucks, and we continue to go on. And this coming week, we've got Disney and others. But, you know, there have been a few that have not been great, but even those stocks now are starting to catch a little something, which shows me why this algorithm is right there. Names like Google that got hit because of the issues that they had in cloud, and yet that stock's zooming to the upside as well. Why is that? Well, there's no difference right now, at least, about that cloud number, but those algorithms are buying everything up right as fast as they can.
The same way they sold them all 2 weeks ago. They couldn't sell them fast enough.
That's a great point. You're exactly right.
Why is, Kenny, why is Amazon revenues keep falling? No, I'm sorry. Apple revenues keep falling. Their business in China is sinking.
Right. But Apple is one of those stocks, you know, that beat on the top and bottom line, but yet they gave cautious guidance going forward, and even though their revenues are down. So, yeah, they're blaming it on China. I'm not really sure I'm buying that whole thing. I think there's lots of opportunity across that other part of the world, right? India, there's going to be huge opportunity. They even said it themselves last quarter that, they're, you know, Tim Cook said that he's looking for big growth coming out of India. But China certainly might be slowing a little bit. I'm not necessarily sure I completely believe that China's slowing as much as they say it is. But look, it is what it is. Their products are very mature. That's not a high-growth, sexy company. It's a very mature company. And so I would expect that we're going to see kind of revenues just bounce up. They still made $90 billion in 3 months. Multiply that times four, and it's $360 billion a year. I mean, I'm scratching my head when people sell Apple up. Every time this happens,
I'd give it all to Israel. Give it all to 360. I'd give it to Israel. Let them whoop Hamas. No matter what Joe Biden wants to do. I'm sorry, I digress. I just thought of that. I don't know why. Is there a turning point in the market, though? Are we now entering a bull phase?
I would say yes. I would say yes. I'll jump in real quick. I'd say yes because of the fact that where we look at volatility, we talk about all these other things, you know, the 10-year going from 5% to 4.5% at an incredible pace. How about volatility going from 23 to 15 in an incredible pace as well? And when you get that volatility, that gives more opportunity because of the fact, especially in the derivatives world that I pray in, we see that all the time. That gives us an opportunity to have more leverage going in because prices have come down. And with that implied volatility, whether it's the S&P or an individual name, it's an incredible enhancer for the markets as well. So I think there's a lot of different factors. I'd say one last thing about Apple, guys. The gross margin at 45%, that's an incredible number for Apple. And that was the main number I was looking at when they came out of their earnings. I wanted to see, how are they doing? How are they really healthy? Are they healthy? Are they not? They're healthy. I'm not worried about them at all.
Yeah, they're pretty damn healthy. Come on. Yeah. But, you know, to your point, is this the beginning of a bull market? Look, I'd like to think we're going to get this Santa Claus rally into the end of the year. But, and I'm very optimistic. I'm long stock. I haven't sold anything. I buy more. That's fine. But what I am concerned about is when we talk about all this treasury coming to the market, who's going to buy it and what price is it going to clear at? Is it going to clear at lower prices, sending yields up once again, which will then start to hammer away at stock's ability to move higher until it all adjusts, right? Look, the market can deal with 5% rates. It did for most of our lives, right? So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the speed at which it whips around, going from, you know, 5% to 4.5% back to 5%. The speed at which that happens is what will cause kind of some of the uncertainty in the days ahead.
2 weeks ago, everybody was talking about market correction. A lot of these indexes were down 10%. That was 2 weeks ago. I mean, I do this stuff. I don't follow it the way you guys do. I look at it. Come Saturday, I know we're going to have a stock market sec. 2 weeks ago, there were 10% plus corrections across the board. Now we're in a new bull market. I mean, I'm happy. That, as I say, the Kudlow Trust is in the S&P index fund, so we did well. But I don't know whether to believe this or not.
I would say that some of the belief that I've got in it right now, Larry, is when we've gotten into earnings season, of course, we went through the financials rapidly at the start. But when we got into Microsoft, and that was strong, we got into Google, and actually the revenue itself was very strong. Everybody was focused on the cloud. Then you had Meta. Then you had Amazon. When you go through a lot of these numbers, including AMD recently, and now Apple, these numbers are actually pretty impressive. The earnings of Apple were up 13% year over year. There's a lot of different things. You can cherry pick all you want for the negative or the positive, but when I see a reaction like Apple where it gets sold off to 171 but actually finishes the day almost back to flat, that tells me that people were starting to look at that and understand the numbers weren't as bad as first thought.
Mm. Agreed. All right. Agreed. Take a break. Ken Polcari, Managing Partner, Case Capital Advisors, and Chief Market Strategist, Slate Stone Wealth. Pete Najarian, co-founder of Market Rebellion and Option Monster. I'm Kudlow. We'll be back with more stocks.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Is crypto perfect? Nope. But neither was email when it was invented in 1972. And yet today, we send 347 billion emails every single day. Crypto is no different. It's new, but like email, it's also revolutionary. With Kraken, it's easy to start your crypto journey with 24/7 support when you need it. Go to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures, Inc., PVI, DBA, Kraken. Visit PVI's disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Now back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
We're talking stocks with Ken Polcari, Case Capital Advisors, Slate Stone Wealth, Pete Najarian, Market Rebellion, and Option Monster. Kids, one area that's very interesting to me as an indicator of the economy is bank stocks, which have done very badly this year, even with the rally down 21%. Bank of America down 14, they're the worst. Let's see, Citigroup down 7. Goldman down 5, Wells Fargo flat, J.P. Morgan the best of the lot, up nearly 7%, even though Jamie Dimon's selling stock. Now, last week had a huge rally in the KBW index, 11%, even though it's down year-to-date, as I said, 21%. Fellas, you don't hear much talk about bank collapse, regional banks, Silicon Valley Bank, all that stuff. Is that gone? Is it all gone now? Kenny Polcari, weigh in.
Well,
please.
I think for the big banks, I don't think it was ever a problem. J.P. Morgan and Bank of America, too, that I own that I like. But I think for the big banks, that's not really an issue. For the smaller banks, I think there's got to be a little bit of concern out there, just depending on what we see happen with rates. But for the most part, I think that it has settled down. Anyone that was in trouble kind of has figured out a way to take care of it. I think you see some of those banks that have gotten really beaten up start to make their way back. And so I think I'm being optimistic and thinking, yes, I think it's behind us unless we have, this massive spike suddenly in rates that will cause pressure on some of the regional smaller banks.
Well, Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, who's a very good friend, Shark Tank investor. He's a good guy. And he's a smart guy. But, Pete, he's been basically preaching regional banks, small banks going to get killed. Commercial real estate loan portfolios way underwater because of rising interest rates and so forth and so on. So you think that's overstated now, or maybe it's not? I mean, the thing is, what if the economy goes into recession next year?
Well, I think that I wouldn't be as concerned about that, Larry. I personally still go back a year ago when I said that I thought we were in a recession then, a year ago last summer. So, most of the people didn't even think it was a recession. So that shows you how recessions can be interpreted at times by the markets themselves. If we are in position to be a recession, not a depression, we're okay. If it's depression, that certainly is not the same situation. But I would also say this about the regional banks. I still think there's some worry out there for some of those regional banks. And I'm not going to say specific names, but I think that there are some names that still exist out there where it's not like it was this past March, but there's still people that are looking at that and a little bit concerned. And because of that, I think that's weighing on all of the different financials, all of the different banks. That's why we're not seeing the performance that we probably would have expected, I think, once we've gotten out of that situation. We certainly have bounced. But we are not all the way back by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's because there's still worry. There's still some concern, whether that's right or wrong. It is what it is. And we just have to trade around that. So I'm very light in any bank exposure right now, whether it's a J.P. Morgan or a Bank of America. And I think J.P. Morgan's doing well for you, Kenny, so I'm not worried about that one at all. But the ones I'm worried about, though, are more of the regional. And I still think that there are some issues there that could become something, and I think that's why we're seeing it. Just nobody's excited to go in there and dive in there and just say, this is done, I need to be there. I'm just not seeing that, and that's why we are seeing them kind of just basically just barely moving along, not having a very explosive move to the upside.
Last one, gold and oil, Ken Pulcheri. Now let's see, gold's kind of done nothing, didn't do anything last week. Gold's up 9% this year. Oil, I'm going to use Brent crude, is actually down 1%. So gold and oil, what do you make of it?
Right. So I like both. I'm long both. I like gold. I think it continues to go higher. Like you said, it is up 9%. I think the continued unrest around the world, which has the potential to just explode, because I think parts of it are a tinderbox. And then I think you'll see a big run to the ultimate safety trade in gold and energy. I still think that energy demand is growing. We saw the Saudis and OPEC come out with, increased demands in 24, increased demands in 25. We saw JP Morgan come out with a report saying that they see increased demand and that oil's going to $100-$125 a barrel. And so I like energy, and I don't think that story is going away, so I remain long it.
And Larry, I'd point out one last thing, Larry. Uranium is something that I think people should keep an eye on. We all talk about oil. We all talk about nat gas. But uranium has been absolutely an explosive move this year to the upside. I don't think it's over. I think there's still something left. And I'm talking about nuclear power here. So there's a lot of different areas that I think that are interesting in the energy space. But specifically, uranium is the one that stands out most.
You know, Pete, they're coming out with all these modules, and it's going to be big business. Now,
it's very funny. I got three inquiries about uranium this week. People, clients asking me, what about uranium? And it's funny because I haven't heard that in a while, and suddenly you just say it again now. So it's picking up its head for sure.
Well, because these modules could be put up. They're cheaper, right? They're smaller. You can use them in, local municipalities. I mean, some of it's war, Iran, but let's put that aside for a minute. Domestic energy, nuclear power could be a big part of the story, Pete.
Absolutely, and I think names like Cameco and others are very, very interesting, and it's not just one name. There's many names, but I think uranium is something that everybody should at least have on their computer when they're looking around the markets at what they want to stare at. I'd put that on there for sure.
Plus, the Bidens don't want to excavate for it. They don't want to dig for it. They don't want to drill for it. I love that.
Right.
And it's the cleanest. It's the cleanest burning fuel, and they hate it.
Yep.
Right, the left wing greenies hate it. They just hate it because. Wait a second. Hold on. Because they hate it. Right. That's the reason. There's no other reason. They just hate it.
There's no other reason.
All right. It's great. It's part of their overall strategy. Left wingers. God help us. Fellas, you're absolutely terrific. I think we solved all our problems. Kenny Pulcheri, known him for a million years. Pete Najarian, coming over from CNBC, is doing such a great job on Fox. You're both wonderful. I'm Kudlow. We'll take a break. Money and Politics next up with Liz Peek and Steve Moore.